Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To find being on the hot seat for me, because generally that means you might get fired.
No, no.
What hot seat means, Mike.
It means Cora adversity right here, or corn adversity right here in the notebook, Jerry. Opening
corn
day,
you wanted
issues for the Red Sox, and we are seeing it front and center right now from Cora. Everything went right, and now this year at 1-5, four games back of the Tampa Bay Rays, things are not going to go as smoothly. People have high expectations of this team, 100 wins or more. Cora is going to have to deal with them not meeting the expectations, and more questions from the media. More questions from the fan base. I find it interesting to see how he's going to respond to that after being Teflon all of 2018.
Oh, yeah. He'll get peppered by Pete Ames every
That's
day.
That's his definition
It'll
of
get
a hot seat?
Yeah, no.
Put a poll up here.
Put a poll.
Can we do something? Put
Tyler,
a poll.
Poll time.
Get a poll up.
Before the season started, how many Red Sox fans thought they were going to win 100 or more?
I'm looking around the room. No.
Red Sox. You said Red Sox fans, so I'm just going to answer anyways. None of us.
100. You said a lot of expectations. People expect them to win 100 games or more. Do you really think there were people? No. They're going to win 105 again this year.
You do that once in a lifetime, right?
You ain't kidding.
Right.
That's his definition of hot seat.
It's a very good poll.
That's adversity, right? Listen, how will he face adversity? You're about to be fired.
That is hot seat.
Leverage.
One mistake.
It's on fire. The seat's on fire.
Yeah. That's why it's hot.
That's right.
It's like a hot stove moment.
Yeah. We worked on leverage already.
Grass is
hot
burning.
Seat
they
means,
got the left cheek. They're working on the right.
You are about to be fired. That's the definition of hot seat for everyone in the world except for Mutt. Am I wrong?
Because poor young
Mutt. I'll kick your ass
because
like
we
no
love
problem
poor
doing
young
it.
Mutt. Here's what a lot of people do these days with sports talk radios. They come out with some wild, crazy take.
Michael and Piba.
Who that people are going to say, oh my God, I can't believe he said it. And then they've got nothing really to support it or back it up. They can't really enunciate. They can't really get into it, right? And that's what people do. And that's what Mutt did. He went out on a limb figuring, I'm going to get there early. I'm going to get there before anybody else.
I'm the first one out here. There's nobody here. What is this? Was I wrong? Was I too early?
Exactly. And then, he stuck to the trombone. And then he finally came back and he said, oh, my God, I have nothing to support.
Well, see, Jerry did him a solid. Jerry said, listen, you define it. You can own your own definition, and then we're good.
What's the meaning of leverage? I will give Mutt this. You know, he's smarter at doing it than Mark James is. I mean, James just throws crap up against the wall and then sits there and does, oh, he's funny. I do nicknames now.
I'm the nickname guy.
He had a good one. He had a good one of you.
Pete in 89, kind of like Glenn Oldway.
Yeah. I like that one. That one. And we're going to rank them in no particular order. I think that's my favorite.
Glenn Oldway.
Chris Berman had this act 30 years ago. Right? 30 years ago.
Jerry dropped him on.
Jesus. Come up with your own original stuff.
See, he's irritating mad right now. He's mad. You can tell when somebody gets to him.
I'm in my prime.
I'm old. The good thing about being old is that you know
you're
more.
You're old young.
You know more
but
than
you're
most,
old young.
Most people because you've seen it all.
I'm wise.
I tell you what. I've seen guys on the hot seat before. So I know what the hot seat is. I've lived through the hot seat. I've seen a lot of managers on the hot seat.
My head turns all the way around and it goes back again.
So I'm not stupid. I know when I see the hot seat. I sleep all through the day. And I saw at night. I see the hot seat. So we really... Are we really concerned?
Hold on.
What's the matter? What's your problem? You got a rest now? What do you got a rest?
Nothing's better.
Just let us laugh.
Does himself.
His own voice. Nothing is better than Glenn Ordway doing fake Ordway voice. It's a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. Brian, no, his brain is about to explode.
It's perfect.
So are we?
I've been on this microphone longer than Mark James.
My dad said I was born with the mic in my hand.
He's treating Tom Brady the same way he's treating me.
I came out of the womb with a mic.
I could rattle off 12.
Talking like this forever.
I could rattle off 12 guys who have been in the hot seat.
Chad Holmes is back for 13.
Oh my God! Wait, was Farrell on the hot seat? Farrell was on a year-long hot seat.
And you know what got Farrell off the hot seat? I hate to say this. This is what got him off the hot seat. He got sick. I know that's probably insensitive to say that, but I think in some respects, that saved his job.
We're well aware of that.
You know, they didn't want to be disrespectful to him. He was going through an awful lot with his health issues.
I wonder if they would ever admit to that. If you're right, which I think you're, maybe, I think there's something there. I wonder if
who's more right, me or Mutt?
Okay. You're gonna have to make me admit to this.
Give me the answer at six.
Mutt's answer was better. It just used the wrong term. You know, things did go well for Alex Cora. How is he going to react to adversity? Right? I mean, that's an unknown. We don't know, but that's not called the hot seat.
He's on a honeymoon right now.
Hot seat.
He is. He's on just the opposite of the hot seat.
Question more than maybe you normally would be.
No, that's not the hot seat.
No, that's not a hot seat. He's stuttering now.
That's not a hot seat.
You start stuttering, that's not good. That means you're not real, you know, well-versed in what you're talking about.
Hey, he went out early. Hey, he put his ass out there. He went out early.
The reason nobody other than Mutt is getting on the manager right now is he's going through a honeymoon. He's not on a hot seat. He's lying down on a bed.
So then why is LeVangie so defensive?
With a drink and an umbrella.
Good
question.
Why is LeVangie so defensive?
Because he can,
even though they're not listening to us, they're not, you know, reading the paper, and nobody's really even talking about it yet, they're already defensive before a question is even asked.
Because I think
they're going to give you, well, what do you want us to do?
I think it's frustration that the beat guys are asking the same question, and they're sitting there going, are you that stupid? Do you understand what we're trying to do? We're trying to preserve the guy. And Sale, by the way, is not going to give out the information. This is a guy who told us last year that he had an infection after they tried to put a navel ring in, right? Or out. So, come on. They're getting frustrated because if you guys can't see what we're doing. Now, Lou brought up a great point to start the show. There's a difference between throwing 88-89 and 93-94. The plan before was we're bringing you down to 93-94 to preserve you. Now, suddenly, we're going from 93 to 94, and we're down to 88-89. What we just heard from Cora is it's part of the plan. I just don't know how long he can be disciplined enough, a guy that knows that if he's healthy enough, and they're saying he's healthy enough, I do not believe they would have signed him to this huge contract if they did not check out the health of his arm. So they think he's healthy enough. He knows he can throw it up at 100 miles an hour. The question is, what discipline?
So give him credit.
He's got to be disciplined.
The thing is, I'm looking at like max velocity, right? Because that's just letting it out. All right, where you sit, where you live, like... You know, maybe 93, 94, but you see it, but you pop a 96, 96 and a half. So his first year here, that first start in 2017 against Pittsburgh at home, he lit it up at 98 and a half. That was his max velocity. So then you came out in 2018, and he actually hit 97 in that opening day as well.
How many pitches?
Well, on the second start, he actually hit 96, and he actually hit 97. In a third start. So he's 95. So he was hitting it, but he was living at 93.
Right.
The difference is that when he was hitting 97, 98 and a half in 2017.
That was your strikeout pitch.
He was also sitting around 96 the whole time.
But that was his strikeout pitch.
Right. This year, you know, it's 92 is the max velocity. So even last year when he was dialing it down at 93, 94, he was hitting 97. This year, 92 in his last outing. 94 in his first outing, which we saw in the first inning. So dialing it down to me for Chris Sale, given what we know we can do, is 92, 93, hitting 94, you know, whatever.
Okay, so why do you think they have ramped it down to 88, 89? That's by design. Because I don't believe, do you believe it's a physical thing? Why would they sign him to this new contract if it was physical?
Never give him that deal.
Here's the thing. So what you really should be doing is giving him credit. If that is the plan, because every
I started the show by telling you if I didn't know who that guy was, I would think that guy is a brilliant pitcher who's a tactician on the mound throwing a ball at 88.
Because all I heard out of that interview was principles and discipline.
Here's our principles.
Well,
here's
what we, but it's his discipline. How does he do this?
No, Cora. This is Cora. This is our plan. This is long season, blah, 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 blah.
I don't know how Sale does this.
Be above it. And again, I keep saying it. The plan is perfect. I would say Sale did exactly what he was supposed to do. He gave you six quality innings. That's a whole debate in itself. Like, that's the ceiling now.
No, I know
six
you.
Six quality.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's acceptable.
No, that was better than.
As long as you get six, we're happy.
Christian,
don't worry about it.
That was better than a quality outing. So quality outing.
I know, but
quality outing is a bunch of BS.
I would say in April, you're looking at six as being okay.
But that wasn't.
But give it away.
That was not a quality start. That's not how you define a quality
start.
Well,
I hate the quality innings. Start. Well,
the problem I have with a quality start in Major League Baseball is six innings and three runs. That's an earned run average of 4.50. Are you happy if a guy goes out and gives you 30 quality starts and has an earned run average of 4.50? No!
No, a quality start.
Yeah, nice job.
Needs,
nice
it needs
point.
To be adjusted. First off, guys don't go deep anymore, but to me, a quality start, six innings, two runs. Seven innings, three runs.
Yeah.
Six innings, three runs. I'm with you. Okay, that's great. I mean, it's a quality start. It's okay. Like you said, it's a 4.5 ERA.
A wimpy baseball. Yeah.
Red Sox didn't have a starter last year with a 4.5 ERA. It was 4.28. So it's that was Porcello. 4.5 quality start? No. He gave you, I'd say 6 in April is good. But then I'm looking for 7. And 7's a big number. You want 7 from guys. If you can get it once you get into the season. Hell, you'll take 8. Don't be afraid to finish one once in a while. But when you're in July and you go 6 innings, 3 runs, you kept me in the game.
But here's the reason I don't
quality.
Have,
kept me in the game.
But here's the reason I have no problem with what Sale did last night, providing he can do that most nights. And he showed, at least last night, that he can do that. If he can do that most nights and get away with it for a bunch of these starts, then aren't we going to get a more powerful, polished Chris Sale in September, October, September, and August. August, September, let me get my months straight. August, September, and October, when he really has not been his best in the last few years. So why not?
If last year they had a plan, right? We sat here all the time resting guys. Thought they were resting Mookie too much. And then he went into DL. And the kid only played 135 games or something last year. No, but scheduled days off. Tomorrow, he said, Xander's going to have tonight off.
Right.
You know, now they get a National League game, so Mookie and JD will get days off. So you're sitting there saying, okay, this is the plan. Let's see if it works. You know, David Price, I don't think threw more than 70 pitches in his first two or three or four outings last year. Okay, let's see if it works. Well, it worked. Okay, so this year, this is why I say he's not in a hot seat. This is why I say nobody's panicking, because last year they threw a plan at us and we said, well, all right, you know what? I'll see if it works. Well, it did. So yeah, I would say most people sit there and say, you know what? Hey, it worked last year for him. Let's see how this thing plays out before I start talking about firing freaking Alex Cora.
The difference was 17-2 start. They're 1-5. I look at it this way. They're a game and a half behind the Yankees right now in the AL East. That's how I look at it. Steven's down the Cape. Hey, Steven.
Hot seat to me means you are...
What happened to the urgency in this town? Wow. Complacency by the manager and the host. Like a spring training interview.
Are you really concerned? You're concerned about this?
And I'm not panicking like much. And obviously... You can't, talk about firing somebody. Although I'm 52, and I remember Bill Fitch getting fired 2 years after winning.
Wait, hold on a second. What are you talking about? A spring training interview. What? How would you like it to sound, Steve?
Well, I almost fell asleep. I mean, this guy that's slot.
That's baseball, Steve. I'm sorry. I mean, I do it every night when I watch the games. What do you want me to do?
No, Steve. Go ahead. You want us to sit there and say, Alex, you're 1-5. What the hell's going on? Your team sucks.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. No problem.
There, a little fire. I mean, it was like a love fest. I mean,
Steve, do you think that? Do you believe that?
I think 1-5 is a joke with the highest payroll in baseball, yes. But I'm not going to go like Mutt and say it's on the hot seat, no.
So are you worried about this team? Are you worried about this team?
Very, very much.
Very concerned. You think they're a playoff team?
Please. Yeah, well, wild card we're looking at now. I mean, I think
they're a game and a half, Steve. If they're
six games in.
If this were September 1st, they would be a game and a half behind the Yankees.
All week you've said, oh, the games don't mean anything, don't mean anything.
They don't.
In 2011, they went 1-7 to start the season, and that was the chicken and beer year. How'd that year work?
So let me ask you, think it had more to do with the 1-7 start or what happened in September?
It was both. They played very well in the middle, if you remember.
Yeah, I know, but I know what happened in September.
Well, I guess we're spoiled from the 17-2 start last year.
No, not at all. What do you think? No.
Well, that all adds to it, Steven.
Steve, listen, we break it down every game. I'm sitting there saying I don't like what I saw from Chris Sale. The guy threw six innings, one run.
I didn't have a problem with it.
So, but we talk about every game. I don't like anything about this team right now.
And by the way,
what do you like about this team? Yeah. But do I think they're going to be a good team? Sure. But as of talking about that game, yeah, I don't like anything you've seen so far.
You want us to call Core back?
What the hell do you want us to do?
Yell at him?
Yeah, you know, do you think he's still walking around San Francisco?
Go yeah, give
him
a ring.
Probably just asking if we can just yell
at him. Sucks.
Alex, yeah. You got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
Game and a half out, please. All right, 617-779-7937. We'll get more into this. Plus, we got some stuff with the Celtics. It's a big game tonight down there in Miami.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
If you go back to the White Sox, I want to say he's last year there or the second to last. You know, there was a time there that he was actually pitching to contact. And I don't know velocity-wise, but I know he was down from 97, 98. And he was getting a lot of people out. I do feel that the velocity will come back. They understand where we at, how we want things to run. Coming into this situation, everything I heard from previous years, it was like Chris was throwing 97, 98 from the first day in spring training, and that's why he got hit against the Houston Astros. So we're trying to be disciplined of what we believe, you know, the program that we have. And, you know, he gave us six yesterday, so that's a good start.
All right, that's Alex Cora with us here about a half an hour, a little over that ago. So is he... You know, blowing smoke. Yeah, is that what he's doing, or is he telling the truth? Now, I'm reading Jason Mastrodonato today in the Herald. Said there was a time in 2013 that Sale had a similar case of missing velocity, which is what Cora's talking about. That year, he averaged 91 to 93 for the first four starts with the White Sox, then sat at 94, 97. He's pitched very little this year in spring training, right? One less start than he had a year ago. So. But there is a difference, I would agree, between 91-93 and 88-89.
There is. And now whether it was him coming out in Seattle throwing 93-94 in the first inning and striking out the side. That's what happened. And then he came out and couldn't find the zone.
Yeah.
And the velocity dipped. So was it, hey, you know, at 93-94, I mean, I don't know because he struck out the side in the first, but it was, you know, I can't control it at that velocity, but he already did in Seattle. So, again, there is a big difference to me. Now, 91 is a low end. But if you sit 92, 93, 94, I'd be all on board right now. You know, knowing that 98, 99 could come later on. But 88, 89, and just watching the arm action and the effort he put into it, it looked like he was just playing catch.
Well, yeah, the other thing I thought he was doing last night is he was very deliberate, pitch to pitch, between pitches. If they had the pitch clock, he would have been in trouble. And the other thing, he shuffled his feet a little bit. He seemed to be, I wouldn't say uncomfortable, but it just didn't seem to be the normal routine for him. So it was almost like he was thinking. Which lends me to believe that, you know, it was all done on purpose. I'm sorry.
You know, and that's fine. It's just so funny what a difference, a hesitation here, a bad at bat there. We're talking small things, small circumstances, small appointments. Top of the ninth, Xander Bogaerts. After already getting a previous opportunity at the top of the sixth to drive Benintendi in, he flies out and no, it doesn't drive any runs home. If he doesn't hesitate after he hits that ball in the ninth, if he just runs it out, if he doesn't hesitate at second, he's easily safe.
Now, the hesitation.
Forget about the throw.
But you send him, right?
It's meaningless.
You send him to third.
All day.
One out
against their closer.
The decision
all day,
wasn't bad. So the point is, so if he is safe and he drives in a run, it's tied up, and next thing you know, there's another hit, and next thing you know, they win the game. This is a small segment. This is a very small, hey, listen, maybe we should probably look at this. Wow, how impressive. Hey, Alex, unbelievable job. Sale didn't look like himself, and you were stayed true to your principles. You were disciplined, and wow, he bought into it. Unbelievable job coaching. Unbelievable job putting your message out there, and unbelievable job of them accepting it.
I would say
that
this,
here
though,
we are talking the whole day about Chris Sale and his velocity.
No, Laureano killed him in two games.
Well, but Laureano,
two throws.
It was a great throw by Laureano.
Yeah, and they did the same thing the night before.
But again, it was an assist by Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, but Christian, if the Red Sox, let's say Xander's safe at third, and Molin goes deep,
I'm still sitting there talking about 88,
89. That's a story, but you're also... But
it is the story of the game.
No, it isn't the story. You're looking at it a lot
different. I think
it is
the story of the game.
You're looking at it differently.
I am.
You go, oh, you know, it's the lowest average of his career. So no, you're looking at it differently. You're looking at a guy.
Is he on a hot seat?
He is on... Whose definition of the hot seat?
Can you void that contract or no? No. And listen, it was absolutely the correct play. He thought he got it out of the box. And that's why you saw him in the dugout with his head down, because he's blaming himself. He could have got out of the box quicker. If he didn't hesitate around second, you know, in that little stutter step, because he wasn't sure maybe if he should go or not, then he would have been safe as well.
Yeah, but the throw couldn't have been more perfect. How often is that going to happen?
All day long. That kid is special out
there. Unbelievable. He's a little dude, too.
Forget about the throw that he threw Xander out at home. I mean, that was impressive the night before.
This one was better.
I thought the double was actually more impressive than anything that Xander got. Kid hit the ball in right center, and this dude slides. And in one motion, kind of pop slide, spins, and throws a bullet to second. Now it's an in-between hop, but you're like, wow. But you challenge it all day, especially if you're trying it on the mound. Like, man on second, one out, that's like Rivera. You're lucky to get a couple knocks off that dude in a row. Yeah. So you got to get to third base if you can and hope a fly ball, you know, scores you, or a little slow roller scores you, something.
But nobody's got a problem with Bogaerts going for third, right?
No,
I mean, he had
the execution. And
the fact that he was slow.
Okay, but
he wasn't slow. He thought he hit a home run, and then he thought he was over the fence.
But he was.
And then
running.
When he got to second, he was like, wait. He hesitated
Christian,
twice.
He got hit in the ankle with a foul ball on the pitch before
My foot hurts.
So he got out of the box.
Are you kidding me?
It's baseball.
So you think that he got out of the box slow because he got hit?
I don't think he got out of the box slow. I actually think there was a hesitation at second base.
He thought he hit a home run.
And only because he was looking over his shoulder to see where the ball was.
I don't think he ran as hard as he could out of the box. Now he was hobbling a little bit. You know, but still, I think you got the first 5-6 steps was a little bit of a hobble, but rounding first, going to second, there was no
top
hobble.
Top of the ninth, so game on the line, fine. You're down by one, you hit a long drive ball out to center, and you're just kind of lollygagging?
Yeah, I would say that was a great play by a young guy who's
as
good an arm
you.
As you're going to find in Major League Baseball
right
now.
Okay, fine, and shouldn't you know better by then?
Two nights in a row.
So shouldn't you know better?
You still go.
Don't tell me you don't.
You've got to get your third against their closer with one out. You need to get the third.
Are you honestly defending it?
Fly ball. Fly ball ties up the game if I get the third.
Guy was great. Best arm in the major leagues, right?
I haven't seen him before. I'm just telling you now. In the last two nights,
better arm.
Two nights he's been unbelievable.
So you've had two games in a row where he's obviously at least. Hey, red flag. Hello.
No, I'm not going to take what I saw yesterday because that one actually was questionable play at home plate. I'm not going to take that one and suddenly say the ball is hit off the furthest part of the ballpark, off a little extended wall. I'm going to stop at second because of what he did at home throwing at home plate yesterday.
He hesitated. He was slow out the box. He hesitated at second.
Yeah,
it was a great throw. But he is he gets the assist. Xander gets the assist for that.
That's not the story of the game last night. The story of the game is the pitcher.
The story of the game is who's on the hot seat and how do they survive?
Starting pitcher is
on the hot seat, and I don't know how he survives this.
Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Bourne. Hey, Steve.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
Two points. One of the things that really bothers me, and you saw it last night, a prime example, where these guys hit the ball, Bogaerts in this case, and they start jogging up the first baseline and decide if they're going to run hot or not. And last night, I do think it was meaningful, a one-run game. A guy would have been on third. And it just bothers me. I don't understand why the manager doesn't make it a point of emphasis for these guys to run hot out of the box all the time. Even Vasquez runs, jogs out of the box, and he runs as fast as my grandmother. He needs every step he can get. But, you know, I don't want to belabor that. The thing I do
because
want to
the
talk
number
about,
one because the manager knows that happens. It does.
But why does
it's 162 games?
No, it does.
You know, it cost him the game.
No. I'm just saying it's not excusable. I guarantee he's like, hey, you know, get out. He might have joked with him. He got out of the box quicker. It's not going to be a bang bang play.
Yeah,
and it's just a subtle reminder, let's go.
I mean, it's the new baseball, I suppose. But
no, it's not. That's been going on for a long, long time. That's not the new baseball.
The 1-5 start. Now, last year, the Sox won the World Series. And to me, they did that in part because they won so many games at the beginning of the year. They were able to give Sale time off to rest. They were able to give other players more playing time. They didn't have to win 8 of their last 10 or 9 of their last 10 to limp into the playoffs. So in my opinion, these games in April and May matter as much, if not more, than the games at the end of the season.
Why more?
Because when you can sit back at the end of the season, rest your starters.
Let me ask you this, Steve, because you sound like you've watched baseball for a while.
Nobody rests.
Have you not watched baseball before? Do we not see in April and in May, we always get a jackrabbit who comes out of the gate, and we sit there and go, Seattle. Right Baltimore. Now, Seattle. Do you think Seattle's going to be there? Do you think Baltimore's going to be there? People are taking attacks at me here on the text line saying they're not a game and a half out. They're four games out. No, they're a game and a half out. We know baseball. We know which teams you can eliminate right now. And I've already said Tampa Bay will hang in there because they've got two, maybe three starters. They'll hang in there for a while until somebody gets hurt and they won't have depth. Baltimore is going to be in last place. Baltimore will lose more than 100 games, even though they're 4-1 right now. Write it down. Guaranteed. 100%. They will lose more than 100 games. They are a game and a half out. The Yankees closer last night blew up against the Tigers. They have seven guys on the IR right now. What are you worried about?
I'll tell you what I'm worried
April
about.
Is not that important in baseball. It is not.
Well, listen, no. Okay, Steve, I'm not saying it's not important, okay? It is. But, because, you're sitting there with a two-game lead in September. Maybe if you played better in April, maybe you got a five-game lead. So I understand
and
that side of it.
That's my point. And that allows you to do so many things. That allows you to set your rotation. You bring up guys. You give Evaldi a couple of starts he might not have. You bring up guys from AAA. You rest guys because you're not in a mad dash for the finish.
Yeah, but one of the reasons that they're doing it, Steve, and maybe they're getting off to a slow start with the starting rotation, is they baby them during the spring. Why? Because those guys were taxed. The starters were taxed as relief pitchers in October. So they played a month longer than a lot of other players. So what they're doing is
they threw a lot more than most starters in the postseason.
That's right. They're taking heat right now in the first month of the season, figuring that it's going to pay dividends down the road when Alex Cora will finally be off Mutt's hot seat.
Hot seat to me.
Exactly.
You are.
He'll be off the hot seat. I'm sorry. I can't get panicked about this when it's by design. So they're not winning right now. Not that they don't want to win these games, but if the way they're playing it, the cautious way they're dealing with the starting pitching, leads me to believe that you're not giving yourself the best chance of winning these games early on. But you're doing
it. They knew the first time through the rotation was going to be a little iffy. I don't think they thought they'd come back 3-8, 4-7. They would like to obviously spin that number around, but again, like you said, we're going to be patient, and we're going to be disciplined, and we're going to stick with the plan. People are going to lose their mind when Bogaerts is out of the lineup tonight. They're going to lose their mind when Mookie's sitting in Arizona or JD's sitting in Arizona. This team is 2-7, and JD's not playing. What's he need a day off? But you know what? They're going to do it because they're going to stick with what they think works.
I would love to panic. I do good panic. I would love to be panicking here and telling
you. Why don't you do it? Why don't you just try it? Why don't you just try it?
I can't do it. I can't get worked up about
this.
Just try it.
You can fake it. You're an actor. You went to school to be an actor.
Let me ask you, who do you think finishes?
Tampa Bay.
Do you think Boston or Baltimore? Who finishes ahead of each other?
I don't know.
Hey,
Tampa
Michael,
pretty good.
Guess who was in court today?
Who that?
Michael Bennett.
Ooh, really?
And we have
a new little extension.
And we have a decision from the judge. It's coming up next.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on WEEI.
We need to have respect.
And quite frankly, when you are at that level in society where you're probably a multimillionaire, you know, how about having treating people with dignity? But most importantly, how about not putting your hands on a 66-year-old paraplegic? I don't know about you, but it kind of angers me a little bit. I don't know about you, but you're morally corrupt when you put your hands on a little old lady in a little wheelchair. That is morally corrupt. I mean, morally bankrupt. He's morally bankrupt. There's no excuse for that. None. Zero.
Art Aceveda, he is the police chief in Houston, Texas, talking about New England Patriots defensive lineman Michael Bennett. He was indicted back in March of 2018 based on evidence, as you just heard. He pushed this old woman in a wheelchair.
No, it's a little old lady.
A little old lady. Little old, yeah. In an effort to get onto the field to congratulate his brother.
He's morally bankrupt.
In the game against the Falcons there at NRG Stadium. So today, prosecutors in Houston have dismissed that charge of injury to an elderly woman against Bennett. They have dismissed the case in the interest of justice. Chief of staff to the district attorney said, after looking at all of the evidence, this was the right thing to do. The police chief, as you just heard in Houston, disagrees.
Yeah, I don't care what your opinion is of Michael Bennett. This one seemed so far-fetched. So you're going to tell me a little old lady sitting in a wheelchair, and I don't care how morally bankrupt you are, I don't care what kind of a-hole you are, is going to push and knock down a little old lady in a wheelchair.
There's no excuse for
that. No, there isn't. Because
why is the Houston police chief so pissed off about it? Like it was something really bad.
I think initially he probably got the wrong information and wanted to make an example. Who knows? Obviously, they researched it. They had more evidence. They had videotape, as usual. And that's the Super Bowl. So there's an angle of everything that goes on the field.
Well, you know that his side was suspicious of it anyways, right? They thought it was sort of like, given what had happened in Vegas and the timing of this charge coming up, it was almost like payback. You know, we felt like what you did in Vegas we didn't agree with, and we're going to kind of bring this charge up against you. And, you know, it's like anything else. You sort of wait and see how this thing plays out.
But it was so weak, though.
You try to.
Because, I mean, honestly, think about the biggest jerk you know. Just leave us out of it.
Hold on now.
Leave us out of it.
But you don't like Michael Bennett?
I don't, but
you don't think you would do that?
That's what I just said. I do not. I remove my personal feelings towards him. I still don't think that he would sit there. Do I think he was mouthy? Sure, because I've seen a bunch of people do it trying to get onto the field during the Super Bowl. And when I play in the Super Bowl, you grabbed your family and you pulled them over the railing. Now they bring you to a certain area and they let you on afterwards. And even that area is roped off. But did you believe that this was even possible? But
most importantly, how about not putting your hands on a 66-year-old?
He put his hands. I just didn't believe it.
I don't doubt anything.
I didn't believe it.
I don't doubt anything anymore. But
I know, but do you think he has the ability to do that?
I don't know. I don't know. What do I know about the guy?
I don't know. I mean, think of the situation.
No, but let me ask you, is there a chance that he was standing there and like when everybody ran into the field, there was a little bit of a crowd?
There's always chaos.
Right, so you run in there and you're getting pushed. Everyone's getting pushed. Next thing you know, like if two people from you, they fall down. Right?
And you step over.
Because the crowd is pushing everybody out. They look up and they see the really big guy. So, I mean, you know, that probably could have happened.
Yeah,
and they blamed him for doing it intentionally, maybe he didn't do it intentionally, and the woman fell down.
Sure, but there was he was a target, definitely. And they really went out of their way to make him look like a scumbag in this situation. The other one, the biggest one, I think he had it coming.
Well, the police,
this situation, I wasn't buying it.
Police don't seem happy about this. Do you remember there was also another legal case based on another event that happened on that very same day at that very same Super Bowl? Do you remember what it was?
Wait, hold on. There was another. Somebody steal a jersey.
That's correct.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady's jersey.
Was it Bennett?
Stop that. It was the elderly woman.
Yeah. So that's what it was. It was all a setup.
No, they got the guy.
They got the guy.
Yeah, they got
the guy. He had a whole network of stuff he was stealing. All right, back to the phone calls we go. Ed's in New Hampshire. Hey, Ed.
Hi, we'll get to Chris Frail in a minute. But first of all, J.D. Martinez.
Oh, hold on. Is that what we're doing
Mark
now?
James. Everyone's
this
Mark James.
This is Mark James. This is his influence.
Yeah, everyone's Mark James.
So Chris Frail.
Hold on. Can I just say this?
I like it.
You know that Lou's going to get blamed by the players for coming up with these nicknames.
Same station. I like the nickname game. I'm not going to lie, Ed. That
Chris
was a good
Frail.
One. Chris
right,
Frail.
J.D. Martinez should never play left field. This guy sucks in the outfield. I'd rather see fat-ass Fourier out there in left than
fat ass.
Wow.
Jeez, I'm thin.
All right.
Second of all, Chris Frail, this guy is definitely broken goods. This is going to be the worst contract for the Red Sox since Jack Clark.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Who's he?
He was bad. First baseman. Who's
nobody,
bad?
I don't good. Think you need to.
Ed, anybody else you can think of in the last 20 years? I mean, you only got about four other guys.
That's wild.
How about Kyle Crawford?
That was bad.
How about Pablo?
Pablo? That's the one I
oh, that was
how
bad.
About Renteria?
Most recent.
What do you mean, expensive?
Hanley.
I mean, you're going to go all the way back to who, Jack Clark?
That guy was a piece of work, wasn't he?
Yeah, sure was. All right. Thanks for the call.
All right,
Chris Frail.
Ed's the type of guy that I'll guarantee you 2 months from now, the Red Sox will be on like a nice 12-game win streak or whatever. You'd be calling up saying, I'm telling you.
Here's the reality.
He's great. Yeah. He's great.
I have no idea. If someone said, hey, okay, right now, put a gun in your head. Is he going to be healthy?
Yeah.
Do you think he's right? You think they're right that he's not hurt? I can't say
sucks.
Yes. I have no idea. All I know is 80-89 is not comfortable. I mean, yeah, you see guys all the time. Like I know everybody's a little bit different, you know, but all these like power pitchers, they get older. They want to pitch into October. Maybe it does speak of how concerned they are of Chris Sale. You know, when Lavangie sits there after the game and says, hey, what do you want? I mean, he's throwing 88-89. You want him ready in October, right? So what do I have to get 4 months of 88-89 from Chris Sale to get him where I need to be in October? Because then I would say I don't really feel good about giving him the contract if that's what I think the game plan is, right? You know how many guys throw 88-89 in the big leagues? I probably count him on a freaking hand.
Well, in the old days, a lot of, but now everybody throws close to 100 miles an hour. That's
nobody throws 88-89.
No, the young players.
Knuckleballer.
The young players. Knuckleballer or a sidearm guy.
I tell you what, he was throwing trash. He was throwing trash up there last night, and he was getting guys out. And I agree, Lou. You can't do that every single game, but I think people are overreacting to what they're trying to do. They're trying to baby him. There's no question about that. But
Big picture, I would agree.
But the running
one. No, listen, doesn't mean I can't sit here and not be uncomfortable with what I saw last night.
I'm uncomfortable with what I see.
I didn't like
him.
That at all.
Wait, but hold on. The bigger picture is I'm not comfortable with what I see with him every September. And that dates back to when he was pitching for the White Sox.
I'm uncomfortable.
So if we can be a little bit shaky here early on and baby him, okay, and go through this where he just squeezes through, and then we're going to get a better pitcher. We're going to get more of a July Chris Sale.
Perfect.
In September, I'm taking
him. I'm in.
Because you had no idea.
You guarantee that?
No. But okay. I'm saying that's what they're trying to do, aren't they?
I agree.
And they feel confident they can do it, or you don't give them that type of money. I saw the Shaughnessy piece today, and he thinks the contract was ridiculous because they're worried about him physically. You're telling me that the Red Sox were that callous?
Who knows? I wasn't there.
They're giving that type of guaranteed money to a guy, and they've inspected all of his goods, and they're sitting there going, oh, he's a little shaky physically, but we'll give him the money. I don't buy
who wouldn't be? And that's part of the deal. If you want to start, you know, critiquing contracts and, you know, second guessing decisions that they make, I always ask, hey, okay, so if not him, then who? Who's gonna be the next guy up?
Well, you talk about durability, though. Porcello has far more durability than anybody else on that staff right now. He's the out guy. He's the one guy that gave you 200
plus
innings.
That's probably your biggest fear going in the year because, you know, Erod's coming back, Sale's coming back, Evaldi and Price. And if Porcello goes out there and gives you the best season of all of them, he's the one guy that's not returning.
He might.
Now, he didn't get off to a good start, but, you know, he's a guy that you know is going to give you 32, 33 starts.
He's giving you more innings than any of these other guys. He'll give you that.
Yeah.
And that's
he been the only one, seriously, since he came here that hasn't been injured and been on the, is it IL or DL? None of you know what I'm supposed to say
used to be
anymore.
The DL.
So I feel like
his first year, he missed probably two or three starts.
Yeah, but he's been really steady.
He's durable.
Consistent, yeah.
Well, he's durable.
And starts, as far as consistent goes, 1 year
well,
straight,
I mean, as far as, not as far as, it's consistent.
Tell me whether the ball's dropping.
On the field. Consistent, you know, being available.
Yes.
He's always available.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, what you get, it depends.
And he's good when the ball is dropping. When it's not, and the ball comes up here, they can hit him. They put the ball in play. Here's Ken in Connecticut. Hey, Ken.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Ken.
Good. I wanted to weigh in on the idea of the games not as important in April as they are in September. Fellas, it's the W column and the L column. They don't separate it by month. And have you heard about the dog days of August? Would they rather have a day off in April or a day off in August?
August.
Okay.
How about both?
So why are the games more important in September? They're not.
They're not. They go in the W column and they go in the L column.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but just basic math.
I'll give it to you, Ken. I will give it to you, and you're missing the point once again. So you have a starting rotation, and this is a rotational problem. The rotation is taxed down the stretch and into the postseason because you didn't have a bullpen. So you had to take starting pitching, and you had to use those guys as your bullpen. So they put a lot of mileage on in October. You come to spring training now, and you need to baby them. And you're going to get off to a slower start, I think, this year than you did last year, because you did go deep into October. You did use those arms. You didn't the year before. And you look at it, they paid like 30 games in the minor league. So that's like 6 trips through the rotation. You want to see how many innings they pitched, Ken? David Price, 6 2/3 in 30 games. Sale, 9 innings. Evaldi, 7. Porcello, 12. And Erod, 15. And you know why they did that? Not because they were hurt, but because they're going to baby them.
But Ken, let me ask you a question.
They're behind everybody else.
Let me try to compare, because I understand the math. I get this argument every year, because I do believe September matters more, because you know what's in front of you and you know where you are. In a basketball game, if the Celtics lose by 2, do we say it's because they lost the first quarter by 4?
Why not?
But do you say that? Like when it's tied going into the fourth quarter, when there's 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter and it's tied and they lose by a bucket, do you go back and say it's because Al Horford missed 2 free throws in the first quarter?
I'm talking about the X factor.
If he made them. And they won by 4.
How many times have you ever done that in your life, that the Celtics lost a game by 1 and said it's because they lost the first quarter by 4? How many times have you ever uttered those words?
This is baseball, not basketball.
Okay. Well, you don't get the comparison.
You just said you'd rather have a day off in August or 2 days off in August or miss a start in August, okay?
No, I said a day off.
Good in April.
Yeah, I'd rather have a day off. I'm fresh in April.
Look, you're fresh in, but so you'd rather have a day off in April? No.
No, I'm fresh in April, Ken. Jesus. Yes, of course I'd rather have a day off in August.
Completely lost what his point is.
I'm not arguing about it.
They're going to give him days off.
Can I have a day off?
Can I have a day off? Ken is a victim of the moment.
Can I have a day off in March?
He's a victim of the moment.
What about June?
What I'm arguing is the idea that one game in a win column is more valuable than another game in the win column. It's not.
It is. And players will tell you that it is. It's
they all add up, right? They all count, right?
The math is the same.
They all count.
You're right. The math is the same, but they're doing it by design right now. Late, you know, slowly bringing the starting pitching into it. I'll tell you the most encouraging thing about the 1-5 to me is the bullpen's been pretty good. Bullpen isn't bad again last night.
Yeah, they needed them.
Workman was pretty good.
Barnes only throwing one game.
I know.
Workman was good. Brazier was good.
Good.
Henry scares me. Thornburg, we'll see.
Yeah, and I'm not sitting here telling you that I'm sold after 6 games here on the bullpen. I'm not saying that still is the biggest problem. But if they were 1-5, and if I told you before the season began they were going to be 1-5, the first thing you'd say to me is, what, the bullpen blew up. They are awful, right?
Lost a couple for
them. Yeah, because that would be the weakness. The bullpen's not been your problem. To me, the starting rotation is by design off to a slow start based on the workload.
You expect this team to be there. And if they, in September, drop 8 of 10 and miss the playoffs, I don't think many people look back at April. I know you can bring it up. It's like that basketball, you know, I mean, how many times when the Celtics lose do we sit there and we talk about the last 3 minutes of the game? Does anybody bring up the first 3 minutes of the game?
Nobody.
And say, well, you know, they did get off to that 10-2 start. I mean, they were losing 10-2 early. If they didn't get off to that, if they weren't losing 10-2 in the first 2 minutes of the game, they would have won the game by 6.
Lou, I will tell you this, and you have experience at this because the rosters were raised up to 40 in September. So you actually had games that you played in September.
You
September, there's a different mentality to going out there in September.
Time.
Absolutely. It's different
than
April.
You know who your team is.
Math, it's
the
same.
The team is built. Now it's time to go.
Exactly. So it's much different. And they're a game and a half behind the Yankees. That's what you have to look at. All right, 617-779-7937. Right here on OMF.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.